welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined today by Mr. Spoons.
Hello, everybody.
And we are doing our Wittertainment impression today.
Well, yes. Are you being Flappy Hands or am I?
Well, I'm definitely Simon.
Okay, good, because I consider myself far more educated on films than you.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like Mark, you're often wrong. So we are talking movies today, but we're not talking modern movies.
No.
We're not talking Interstellar or anything like that, which I still haven't seen.
No, I've got to see that one yet.
But we are going back. Not that far back, because it wasn't that long ago.
I don't know, it was quite a long time ago.
Oh, shush, it wasn't that far ago. We are going back to the 80s.
The heydays of our youth.
Yes, yes. When I don't know.
We were young and thin, for starters.
A can of top deck was 50p. A Mars bar was a 10 pence.
Yeah.
And there were half p's and pound notes.
And they were marathons back then, not Snickers.
They were. And opal fruits.
Oh, made to make your mouth water.
I could go somewhere, but that's the wrong sort of podcast.
Yeah.
We are talking 80s movies. And because our audience is young.
Damn them.
Curses. We are sort of going to educate you on great 80s movies that you should go and watch.
Yeah.
Because they're great.
Yes. Both of us kind of set ourselves a task, come up with the top five, which are, you know, it's a personal thing. We're not using any measure that would normally be used for magazines and shows like that. They are the five kind of films that we, I think, independently came up with a measure of. If we see that it's on telly, we will watch it in its entirety at the expense of something else.
Yeah, agreed. Now, I don't know what's on Spoon's list, and he doesn't know what's on mine. But we do know that we have excluded Star Wars movies.
Yes.
And we had a little disagreement off-air about whether Empire Strikes Back actually counts as an 80s movie.
It does, because it was 1980, therefore in the 80s. So, once again, you're wrong.
On that, I might be wrong. But we haven't picked it anyway, because obviously, automatically, Empire Strikes Back would win.
Yes.
Though maybe not Return of the Jedi, because I'm not that big fan of Ewoks.
No, it was the beginning of the Lucas sellout to the merchandising.
Yeah, but there were some great toys.
And Leia in a bikini.
Because you got a scout walker.
Leia in a slave bikini. That almost balances out the Ewoks.
I could make some jokes, but I won't.
No, because we're family friendly on here.
We are. So, there is that. Now, we should also warn you that the chances of this going the 15, 16 minutes, not going to happen.
No way in hell.
We've got 10 movies to talk about, and you know what we're like once we start going.
And those are just the 10 we've chosen. I've got a list of approximately 30 that didn't make the list that we may touch on.
Yeah, I've got some. I've also got some modern movies that hark back to classic 80 movies that I would also highly recommend.
Excellent. So we may be in for a long haul.
We may be. So why don't we start with your first one?
My first one will be the greatest action hero of the 1980s.
Oh, Sylvester Stallone?
No, good Lord, no. My boy Arnie. And right. Of all of his catalogue, I've gone for Predator. And I've chosen Predator because I still think it stands up even today as an absolutely brilliant action flick. I don't think it's particularly dated like some of his others have. And it's just frankly brilliant.
It is a very good movie. And you're right, it has held up. I mean, I think we've talked about this on the show before. My favourite of that era Arnie movies is Raw Deal, mainly for the last 20 minutes where everything just goes crazy and Arnie is popping people from 500 yards away with an Uzi.
Yeah, out of the top of the moving convertible car.
But Predator does hold up incredibly well.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it, not back to back, but within kind of 48 hours, I've watched the Arnie Predator, and then the Robert Rodriguez reboot Predators, with Aidan Brody in, and it's really hard to pick between them. And you could think they would be made within a couple of years of each other, because whether it's because Rodriguez has deliberately gone for that style, which I don't think it's so much of. I just think it's because Predator stands up so well. It's got some real good sort of action hero type tropes in it. I think because of its setting means that, you know, it doesn't particularly date, because it's the jungle, and the jungle looks the same now probably as it does in the 1980s, although I'm guessing there's probably considerably less of it.
Oh, a little bit political there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a fantastic action flick.
It is a great action flick. I mean, it has some awesome characters.
Yeah.
Some terrible actors.
Yeah.
Jesse the Body Ventura cannot act.
No, but he doesn't need to, in fairness. He's got a gun.
And he does die spectacularly well.
Yeah. Sonny Landham, another kind of one of the great... I mean, there's a few in there. I mean, Bill Duke as well, all of which were kind of frequent visitors into Arnie films and kind of the action TV series of that period as well.
Carl Weathers, isn't it?
Carl Weathers or Apollo Creed, depending on, you know. Oh, do you see Rocky? Would that have been?
No, see, I didn't know. That was close for a while, actually, yeah. Rocky.
In some of the greatest sort of monster movies, although I consider it an action flick, not a monster movie, it's clever in the fact it doesn't do a particularly grand reveal until the very end, when obviously Arnie points out that it is one ugly mother hubbard.
Yeah, you don't see it, do you? And Arnie is on top form. I mean, he's ripped.
Yeah.
The end battle is really, really good. And really quite clever.
Yeah, and I think for me it's not got the cheese ladled on quite as thickly as some of his other films of that time. There are the little witticisms and the little one-liners in there, but not quite as thickly laid on as in Raw Deal and Commando and those sort of films.
Yes, Commando has not aged particularly well.
No.
I saw that recently and I still enjoyed it. You know,
yeah.
I told you I'd kill you last. I lied.
Yeah, that's exactly the line I was just thinking of. Yeah, look after my friend.
Unfortunately,
he's tired. Yeah,
these days in HD, you can really see the wire that's holding him up.
Yeah.
But, no, Predator's a good choice.
Yeah. What about you? Have you got an 80s action flick on there?
I do have an 80s action flick. Which again I watched very recently, and my 80s action flick is Aliens.
Yeah, came very close to being on my list, my top five.
Absolutely love Aliens. I think it's probably the movie that I have watched the most ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first 18 that I went and saw at the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big deal, and I remember it vividly. A whole group of us from school went, and we sat upstairs in the Odeon in Oxford at the front.
Yeah,
and a couple of people had seen Alien, but not many.
Yeah,
because it was different. It was different in then. There was less access to movies for starters. Yeah. I think we'd only had a VCR for a year when I went to see it, and so. But we knew that things were going to jump out, and the scene, you know, the scene early when they're in the med bay, when the facehugger whacks against the glass, everybody in the cinema leaped. Absolutely everybody.
There's a lot to be said for that kind of the group enjoyment that.
Yeah.
It's great watching stuff at home, and, you know, I've got a mahoosive telly that does all the clever bits and bobs, but there is a lot to that kind of setup. I remember seeing Arachnophobia at the pictures and exactly the same thing. It was almost a Mexican wave of terror that went across because someone had bought a big rubber spider and at one of the key points had dropped it into the lap of the person in the row in front. And there was this Mexican wave of screams and people jumping up that went across the cinema. It was absolutely priceless.
Yeah, see, I had that once. another film that almost made my list but didn't, which was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
I saw that at the cinema. And it must have been, it was shortly afterwards, so it must have been like a rerun thing.
Mm.
And I hadn't seen Nightmare on Elm Street, and the bath scene.
Yeah.
There was just, I was with this girl, and she was just going, ah! And then everyone was going, ah! And I've never had a horror movie since.
Yeah.
You know, the scream, if you go and see something like Scream and things, it's much more people are laughing rather than being actually scared.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were just more innocent then, because we weren't, you know, we just didn't see as much of that sort of stuff. Aliens, I mean, it's two reasons. So that's the first reason.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's a brilliant movie. The second reason is when I met the lady who is now my wife and has been for, what, nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
The first time I went around to her house, I closed the door, and there was a massive poster on the back of her door of an alien bursting in. Mm-hmm. It was a big full-length door poster.
Yeah.
And that was the point that I went, oh, I might keep her.
Yeah. It's one of them serendipity moments where you just know you've got the right person.
Yeah. So that's fine. But it is. I watched it about the other week, and I watched it with Rebecca, who's my 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an 18 then. It wouldn't be an 18 now. No. I mean, I think even the videos have reclassified it as a 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strong language and violence.
Yeah.
So I watched it with Rebecca, and the last 25 minutes, the real time sequence,
mm-hmm.
She was, even though you know that she's going to get Newt.
Yeah.
And Rebecca was literally on the edge of the sofa watching it.
Awesome.
And she's going, she's going to be all right, isn't she? She's going to be all right, isn't she? She's going to be all right. And I didn't have that. You know, after they kill the queen and they all take off, I didn't have the heart to tell her of the debacle of Aliens 3 and how, oh yeah, we'll just kill them all off.
Oh, I like Alien 3.
No. You are wrong.
I didn't say it's brilliant. I said I like it. It's one that needs to be seen in widescreen, though.
It does need to be seen in widescreen, but it's still not very good.
It's better than the bloody Aliens 4.
Oh, no, you see, that's where you're wrong. That's good.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, Alien 3 is better than Alien 4. That's the end of that discussion.
It is not, as always, you are wrong.
So have you got any other action films on your list?
I have two that could be considered action films.
Should we talk about potentially an action film that perhaps should have made our list? It's not made on. I don't know whether it will have made yours, but the fact you said could be means it probably hasn't.
Okay,
Die Hard.
No, it hasn't made my list.
Didn't make my list. Came very close. It was vying with Predator for quite a long time. And I've tried not to load up my list with kind of single genre films. There are a lot of great action film franchises almost that started in the 80s, because you also had Lethal Weapons, you had Die Hard, you had Predator, you had Aliens, all that went on to spawn multiple sequels. Die Hard very nearly made it onto my list. I love it to bits.
Must admit, I didn't consider Die Hard. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's not one that I will watch whenever it comes on.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those ones that loses its potency as you know once you've seen it.
Mm. I've seen it a bajillion times, but because I didn't want to kind of load too much with action films, I applied the other criteria that we use, dear listener, in compiling our lists, that if I was stuck between two films and they were both on at the same time, which one would I watch? And Predator would have just edged Die Hard. If they were both on now, Predator would be the one I'd watch.
I mean, Die Hard is very good.
Yeah.
It has some very clever moments, and some of the writing in it is excellent. The setup of the feat.
Mm.
And the ongoing stuff with trying to find a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And then the payoff that you get.
Yeah.
Which is horrific.
Yeah.
Is really well done. I mean, those sorts of, I mean, Alan Rickman is brilliant in it.
Absolutely.
You know, Bruce Willis is very good.
I mean, it was his first big film off of the back of kind of stardom out of Moonlighting.
Yes. Oh,
I love Moonlighting. So he still was running on the back of that character type of the wisecracking, fast-talking type.
Yes.
But I think he kind of established himself out of the blue, really, as kind of a solid action hero. Of course, then went on to do all that Planet Hollywood stuff with Tani and Sly as well.
Yeah. But of all those three, I actually think he's the one who still makes decent action movies.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
digressing slightly, I like The Expendables and that franchise.
Yeah.
But I don't like it because of Stallone. I like it in despite of Stallone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Stath, I mean, I've talked about on the show before my love of the Stath.
Yeah, it was a very strange thing you've got.
I think he's great. I think, you know, Terry Crews is very good. So I like that. But I think the movies that he still makes,
mm-hmm.
Apart from the Die Hard movies, which are dire.
Oh, I quite like Die Hard 4.
Which one's Die Hard 4?
It's the one with Timothy Oliphant, all about the computer hacking and stuff. It's got Maggie.
Oh, is that the one? That's the one with his. That's not the one he's in the light. The late.
That's
one.
Die Hard 5 was the one where he's in Rust.
Oh, that was awful. That was terrible. Die Hard 5.
Yeah.
But the ones that he met, the Red and Red 2.
Very good.
I like both of those.
Yeah.
I think he's really good in them. I mean, obviously he's helped in those movies because he has a fantastic supporting
cast.
Yeah,
it's a brilliant ensemble cast in there. But Tears of the Sun that he made was a very...
Yeah. I liked... is it Looper?
Yeah. Yeah, with Joshua Gordon-Levitt as the younger Bruce.
Yes, I thought that was very good.
Yeah, quite cleverly done.
But yes, so what's your next one that did make your list?
Oh, I'm torn which one to go for. I'll go for a personal choice.
Okay.
And that is Time Bandits.
Now that's a good movie.
Probably in, you know, I think, Terry Gilliam's finest work. And don't get me wrong, I love Brazil and the other things that he's done. But for me, Time Bandits, it's aged, don't get me wrong. But on a personal level, it was the first ever home video I watched. I remember Dad coming home with our first VHS recorder, which was about the size of a fold-up bed. And he brought home Elephant Man that him and Mum were going to watch, and Time Bandits for me and my sister. So it's held a certain special place in my heart ever since. But it is just a brilliant fantasy romp that kind of works at both levels. It's a great film for kids to watch, but it's a good film for adults to watch as well. Young boy, lots of dwarves, travelling through time, with a couple of brilliant caricatures in there. Ian Holm as Napoleon, really displaying short man syndrome. And of course, the pinnacle that is John Cleese as Robin Hood.
I like Sean Connery in that.
As the Greek.
Is it Agamemnon?
Agamemnon, yeah.
I like him in that. But no, it is brilliant. The ending is slightly confused.
Yeah.
But it's a Terry Gilliam movie, so what do you expect?
Yeah, you know, that heavy kind of sort of implication that actually, was it just a dream that the boy was having, because all of the stuff is laid out on his floor when the fireman come in to rescue him.
Evil's nose and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. But it
is very good. A friend of mine had the novelization.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to read it from... I would go around his house and say, can I borrow that book? And he would go, again? And I'd go, yeah, I just want to read it. Yeah. And, you know, I'd read it from cover to cover and then start again and read it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent, excellent film. Very good, very good choice. I like it. I like it a lot. The one that I considered that sort of might have competed with a Time Bandits was Willow.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it for ages because it never seems to be on.
No, I mean, it's a LucasArts film, I thought, or a Lucasfilm production.
Yeah.
But doesn't seem to get a lot of airtime. The other one of there's kind of a contemporary to that, funny enough, was on, I think, the night before last that I saw, was Legends.
Oh, Tom Cruise?
With a young Tom Cruise in it.
And is it Tim Curry?
Yes, Tim Curry is the big demon-y thing.
That's a very good movie. Yeah, I quite like that. I actually see this is almost as if we planned it. We didn't, but it's almost as if we did. My next one is actually a Tom Cruise movie.
Ah, splendid.
And it's not the one that people think it's going to be. Because I bet people are thinking it's Top Gun.
Yeah, a lot of people on the Twitters today were saying, well, Top Gun must be in there.
It's not Top Gun, it's Risky Business.
Fantastic film.
I love Risky Business. It's got everything that sort of movie should have. Especially if you're a teenage boy.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people with no clothes on. Which is brilliant.
Yes.
That's just what you want.
Yes, Rebecca De Mornay, unclothed. Oh,
on
what
the stairs, on the hall.
Yeah, with leaves blowing around behind her.
It was a Tom Cruise movie. Wasn't he, was it?
Yeah.
But it's brilliant. I mean, Nick the car, it goes in the river.
That scene where he's the Porsche's rolling down and he managed to get it stopped on the kind of jetty and then the whole thing collapses. Absolutely priceless.
It is absolutely brilliant. Really, really like that. Really, really like that movie. His character, I think he just liked teen movies where the slightly nerdier character,
yeah,
came out really cool at the end, because I was the slightly nerdier character.
We still are.
Surprise, surprise. And I didn't come out cool at the end.
Yeah, and I suppose if you want to extrapolate that forward, all of kind of some of the modern films, things like Superbad and all of that sort of stuff, definitely owe a debt to Risky Business, because it was that kind of one of the teen underdog almost triumphing. I was about to say another film of that time, and I don't know whether it made your list or not.
Well, go and say it then.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
No, it didn't. You see, it was Risky Business or Ferris.
Yeah.
And I would watch Risky Business over Ferris.
Oof, that's a difficult call.
I know. Ferris is brilliant.
Yeah.
Love Ferris. Watched Ferris with Rebecca a little while back. It's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
It's just really, the problem with Ferris is that I think it's dated in places.
Mm.
It's sad. I'm watching it with my kids who is, you know, slightly younger than Ferris is.
Yeah.
And all the bit where he's faking being ill, mm-hmm, with the dummy and everything. And she's going, why would you do that? That's just stupid. Why would you do that? And I'm thinking, what? No!
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, you know, people still go, well, I mean, people our age still go, Bueller, Bueller.
Yeah.
It is a good movie. Ferrari going through the window. Yeah. Again, it's another car destroying thing.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, and I'll reference the Brat Pack later.
Oh, right. You see, I haven't got any Brat Pack movies.
I've got one. I don't know. I guess you'd have to class it as a Brat Pack movie, but it's not one of the kind of the traditional Brat Pack movies. I don't consider it so. But
there was one that was on that. I suppose it might be a Brat Pack movie. It wasn't. It didn't have all of them in it. That I considered for a long time, because you were saying about it being your first VCR.
Yeah.
One of my first videos that we used to get from the video shop was Weird Science.
Yeah.
And yeah, for a long, long time, I considered putting Weird Science in today.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it lost out to some others.
Yeah, I mean, because of that kind of drawing personal references, I went through quite a few of them. Breakfast Club is obviously probably the populist choice. It's the one that is kind of touted as the greatest of, well, it makes a lot of lists as the greatest of that kind of teen era.
Breakfast Club's a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly better than something like St. Elmo's Fire.
Which is one I was about to say, which is one that I also like.
Oh, do you? Obviously, I'm not a big fan of St. Elmo's Fire.
But again, it's not necessarily because of the quality of the film, but it's about the girls I was copping off with at the time using St. Elmo's Fire as kind of a bait.
They were quite good at that. Well, I mean, the whole Brat Pack thing. I mean,
16 Candles, Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink would be my choice. Yeah. I really like Pretty in Pink. But have you seen Easy A?
I think I've seen
with Emma Stone.
I love her so much. She's.
I mean, because Easy A basically is an 80s Brat Pack movie. And that's why I love Easy A.
Yeah. But again, look, you know, things like Superbad to a degree, almost Kick-Ass, although it's from a, you know, obviously I appreciate it has a comic book origin of its own, but a lot of the kind of the teen slacker movies that have come out since owe heavily into some of those, whether it is kind of the angsty side of things like Pretty in Pink or the, you know, the flat out laughs of kind of Weird Science and the geekiness around that with things like Superbad, Pineapple Express, and some of those other more recent films. Certainly, you know, that Seth Rogen sort of generation of, of films.
Yeah, I agree. But, so, I mean, you know, Weird Science also had Iron Man in it, so...
That's very true. A very young Robert Downey Jr.
A very, very young.
I'd forgotten he was in it.
Yeah.
Had Bill Paxton in it as well.
It has got Bill. Has it got Bill? Gets turned into a big toady thing.
Yes.
So what's your next one? Your next actual one?
Is it my turn? What did you do?
I just did Risky Business.
Oh, you did do Risky Business. Well, while we're talking on kind of the Brat Pack and teen movies then, this is one for my dear friend, not Gay Neil, who derides me completely about this film and my love of it, because he thinks it's appalling. Red Dawn.
You know what? I'm with Not Gay Neil.
It's
a terrible movie.
It is a cheese-laden slab of 1980s anti-Russian Reaganite-era paranoia, but it made me want to go and hide on the wreck with an air rifle.
Oh, no, I'm with Not Gay Neil, because that's a terrible movie.
It's not got a lot going for it, other than it evokes all of those kind of puffed up when, you know, you're a young teen with that testosterone pumping around your body and the thoughts of what you would do if, for whatever reason, Russia decided to invade Norfolk. And certainly of that Reaganite era was the shinier, more or less scary side of what was going on when you consider things like Threads and The Day After Tomorrow and the kind of the real nuclear war paranoia that was going around.
Oh, I was going to say War Games was the one that did it for me.
Yeah.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah. How about chess? But no, Red Dawn, not a great film. I'm in no way saying it's a brilliant film. However, it is one of my favourites of that period. I have watched the remake that was out last year, I think.
Something like that, yeah, when it became Korea.
Yeah, well, initially it was China, but then they had to do a load of post-production work to take it out from China and make it into Korea because of the economic bad taste it would leave if China was the bad guy, and considering they are the fastest growing economy in the world. And America is totally right on it, just for a little more politics. So, yeah, a lot of post-production work took place, changing badges and emblems and stuff like that, apparently. It's got Thor in it, but with an AK-47.
Okay, so Thor's cool.
It's equally as bad, if not worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not selling me on Red Dawn at all.
No, it's because it is still ridiculous. However, again, it's kind of another one of those films that holds a certain personal influence of my youth. And again, has kind of spawned a few other kind of films of its like. There was one that came out of Australia, which apparently is a massive, almost Twilight competing series of books down in Australia called Tomorrow When the War Began.
All right.
And that's an incredibly popular set of teen books down there, and they have done the first film. It didn't do massive amounts at the box office. Very, again, Red Dawn-esque in the fact it's a load of youths run out into the woods and mount some sort of guerrilla offensive against a unnamed occupying force.
Okay.
But yes, for me, again, it's of a period, probably when I was just starting to get really into wargaming as well. So, it gave us ideas of wanting to play kind of skirmish-level gaming and have kind of that guerrilla warfare thing going on in a kind of a visceral setting that we could kind of capture, because it was, we've spoken about it before, about where that popular culture to war games kind of crossover occurs at certain points or certain genres. Yeah. And that one for me, there was a lot of games where we tried to come up with a really good Red Dawn setting.
Oh. Well, I've just looked at the timer.
Yes.
And we've gone just over half an hour.
Already?
Yeah. So what we could do is like stop now.
Yes.
And then record part two. Which gives me two episodes instead of one very long one.
Excellent. And then we'll go for a third episode discussing all the films that didn't make our top five.
We could do.
Yeah.
We could do. Because I realised that the only one that really has a game-related thing on my top five list is Aliens.
Okay.
And I've still never found a good game that will match, give me that experience.
Yeah.
But, so until the next episode.
Which probably be tomorrow.
Well,
if you're listening, because I'm assuming that you're
unless this came out on a Friday, in which case it would be Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Until then, I've been Mike.
And I've been Matt.
Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily. Or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.